So St. John, we're at St. John chapter 4. And we all know the story of the woman at the well. And Jesus, and starting with verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now picture this. Here's a woman. She's got a great big old water pot probably on top of her head. And probably a couple on her, or maybe on her shoulders. You ever see people in other foreign countries, the ancient world? They still do it the same way they did it thousands of years ago. And they'll have maybe two pots on something with pads on their shoulders. And they're going to carry that water back. And this is a woman going to the well to draw water. Drawing water. How important is water? How important is water? Just go about 3 days, don't drink any. I did that one time. And I thought I was going to die. I fasted no water and no food for 3 days, and I thought, I'm going to die. But I did it, and I saw a great miracle out of it. I don't know why I shared that. But anyway, water becomes very important to you. Water, valuable, priceless. You would give your life for a glass of water because you'll die without it. Did you know you're about 75% water? Your body is literally 75 or 72% water. It's a pretty much all water.
Yeah.
We're all water, except for just a small percentage. Have you ever drank 8 of these a day? I have. How about 6 of them? I have. I used to set them up, and I'm going to start doing it again. Last summer, I set them on my table, 6 of them, during the morning. And before the day was over, I'd have them all down. And you talk about how hard it is to swallow a whole one of these in one standing. But if you do it every day, your body gets accustomed to the water, and you want more water, don't you? In fact, you really miss it when you don't have it. If you know, I talk to people, don't drink any water. I say, how do you not drink water? Especially if you've ever been one to drink water. So here's the woman at the well. She's going to draw water for her family or herself. Take baths in it. You cook with it. You drink it. You do a lot of stuff with water. And she's going to all the trouble. Maybe she walked a mile to get to this well. And she's now going to draw, take her bucket. So the woman says she's going to get water. And Jesus asked her to give me a drink. The woman saith unto him, how is it thou being a Jew ask drink of me? Verse 9. Because I'm a woman of Samaria. And Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Now, right there, Jesus could have took off and preached a whole sermon. Right there. He had an opportunity to preach a message on religion. That's where the devil is always wanting us to go with our thinker. Think about religion. I don't believe like you. Why do you have anything to do with me? I'm not worthy. You don't think I'm worthy. You judge me. You know, all about religion. And right then, Jesus had an opportunity to tag right onto that question. But you know, do you notice he didn't even pay any attention to that question? Did you know he did not even address the question? In dealing with people, God taught me this. And I'm just throwing this in because in dealing with people, I've learned a lot of people want to engage in an argument. They want to engage in conflict because they like it. It's human nature to like conflict. Let's argue a little bit here. Let's battle it out. Let's compare notes and get ideas from each other. And, you know, it's worthless. Vanity. But Jesus didn't address this issue. He goes right to the heart of what he was getting across to the woman. He said, if you knew the gift of God. Now, underline gift. The gift. There's a gift. There's a gift. How precious is the gift? How priceless is the gift? How important is the gift? You see this water? How precious is this water? How precious is this water to the human life, to any life? How precious is water to life? It's precious.
Yes.
It can't get any more precious than water.
No.
I mean, water is priceless. If there was no water, you will die. And Jesus said, if you only knew the gift, the gift. And he's associating the gift with water. This gift is getting ready to get associated here with water. And what do you do with water? Do you set it and look at it? It looks pretty. What do you do with water? You drink it. You take it in. It becomes a part of you because guess what? 90 or is it at 92 or 90%? Do you know what percentage it is, your water? 75% at least is water. Your body is mostly water. It's safe to say mostly water. Water. So Jesus bypassed the religious chance to argue there, a point about Jews and Samaritans, their religious views. And he goes right to the gift, the water. He's looking at the well. Her focus was the well. She walked maybe miles to get to the well. She was going to draw water, and he says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. If you knew the gift, if you just knew the gift, then he said, you would ask me to give you a drink. Did he not say that next? If you just knew the gift, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you just knew who I am, if you really know who I am, then you would ask me to give you a drink. Yeah. We receive not because we ask not. Amen. And we don't ask because we don't ask because we don't expect to get it. And then if we do ask, and we don't get it, we get upset. And if we ask and we don't get it, you know what that means? You ask amiss. Because everyone that asks correctly gets it. Because they get the gift. The gift is the water. The gift is the water. I'm telling you, God is getting a word to us today. He reigns. Heaven's real. And he's the gift. And he's sitting on a throne right now interceding for me. He's my king. He's my high priest. He has a ministry and he's operating in that, a ministry. And guess what he's doing it for? The church. Me. I'm a part of his church. So I have a gift. He said, I am the gift. If you just knew who the gift of God was and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would ask me to give you a drink. Now let's reenact this real quickly, if we can, in our minds. She's walked a long ways. It's hot. She's tired. She set her pots down. She's getting ready to draw. She's pulling water up. It was a very typical place. A lot of people were pulling water out of that well. A lot of people came that well. And Jesus is sitting there resting, waiting on his disciples to come. And he says, woman, give me a drink. And instead of her saying, oh, you're the gift of God. You're the gift of God. See, she didn't recognize who the gift was. But if she did, she would have said, you're the gift of God. I need a drink from you. Yeah. You are the drink giver. Yeah. You're the one who's really got true water. Mm-hmm. But see, her eyes were blind. She didn't see who he was. She didn't know or have revelation knowledge of who she was talking to. But then he said, if you just knew, if you really knew, immediately you would have said, this is what you would have done. You're pulling water. Jesus, the gift giver, the gift of life, the one who can really give me a drink. I've worked so hard to get this stuff, but you've got something that I really need. If she really knew that. You see, this is where God's wanting his church to be. God's wanting his church to know he is the gift. And he is the one who can give you the drink. The drink of real water. Now, how precious is this? Precious. So we go on and look at this. He said, if you just knew. Well, I know. Thank you, Jesus, we know. We're supposed to know. Christians are supposed to know who the gift is. Christians better know who the gift is. Yes. If you don't know who the gift is, if you don't know what he can give you, then you might as well just pack your stuff up and go home and go to hell and live your own life. Forget coming to church. Forget praying. Forget doing anything for God. If you don't know who the gift is, then just forget it and enjoy sin. Get out there and have a blast because it's over soon. Yeah. I mean, I would be a miserable Christian if I didn't know who the gift was. have more fun out here running around dancing and partying for the devil than being a miserable Christian every day. Why? Go to church. If you don't know who the gift is, what are you there for? Why do you come to church? Why? Why do you serve God? Why do you pray? Why do you do anything for God? Forget it. Put your halter tops on, honey, and let's go potty. I had a good time out there in the world. I enjoyed sin. There is pleasure in it, you know. I danced on bar stools. I carried on like a wild girl. And I had a good time. But when I found out I had somebody would give me something I could drink, I recognized the gift. See, I come to know the gift. I know the gift. And everything else looks nothing once you know the gift. Nothing matters anymore except the gift. How precious is water to you? He's the one that can give you a drink. And he says, it's a drink that will never make you, will never be thirsty again. You'll never be dry again. Ooh, glory, you'll have moisture. You'll have joy. You'll have peace like a river. You'll have a drink of living water. He's the only one that can give it to me. He's the only one that can give me this kind of water. He's the only one that can give me a drink of this. The only one. If I run here to find some peace, forget it. If I run here to find some joy, forget it. If I run there, if I run here, where's the joy? It's in the drink. The peace is in the drink. The peace is in the drink. Aren't you glad for water, Walter, when you're hot and working hard? Can't wait to get that good cold water. I love waking up and praising God because I take a good old drink of joy, peace. I tell you what, it satisfies you. Satisfies you like nothing else. Pepsi's okay, but ain't nothing like cold water when you're thirsty. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me, are y'all getting this, what I'm sharing here?
Yes.
So he's saying, okay, if you just knew the gift. Now I believe the church's problem is, most folks' problem, they don't know the gift. They just know about the gift, but they don't really know the gift. They don't know what's available to them. What's the gift? He's going to tell you here. Hallelujah. If you just knew the gift, then you would do something. If you knew the gift, then you would do something. What would you do if you knew the gift? You would ask him. You would ask him to give you a drink. Now look at what her response is here. Okay, let's evaluate this in her natural thinking, just like you and I would do. We didn't know the gift. We would say, okay, sir. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. You don't have anything to draw with. Excuse me. Where's your water pot? Where's your rope? You ain't got a thing in the world to draw with. When are you talking about giving me a drink? What are you talking about? Give me a drink. You don't even have anything to draw with. See, she's thinking in the natural, like most of us. And the well is deep. And so where in the world are you going to get this kind of living water? We talk about living water.
Yes.
Living water. Amen. Living water. Well, you know, y'all agree that this stuff is basically important to living. This is important to living water. I tell you what, I'm just thirsty right now. Take a big old drink. Good. Going down. And it's just plain old water, but we're talking something more important than that. The woman said, okay, the well's deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank? There she is again, religion again. Oh, religion again. Let's get some religion in here again. I'm telling you, people, if they could just get the religion and the things that they've learned, traditions of man, they get that out of the way, they could get a hold of some living water. Something called the gift.
Yes.
which is living water. Just gotta always argue the do's and the don'ts, the ins and the outs. Okay. Let's not talk about Jacob. You know, he didn't go back to that at all. And she asked him another question. Ignored it completely. I've learned to ignore a lot of stuff people say to me. Because it's the devil trying to get you off track.
Come on.
God's got a purpose in your life. He's got a purpose for you and me. Jesus had a purpose in the earth. You know what his purpose at that moment was? Talking to this woman. You know, Jesus perceived her thoughts, right? Do you know everywhere Jesus, how many times, 30 some times it says that he, knowing their thoughts, he perceived their thoughts. He had the gift of discernment. Jesus had all the gifts. He had the gift of discernment, gift of prophecy, word of knowledge. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. He understood everything from the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, right? He's the gift. And he's the gift giver. Mm-hmm. He's the one who can give you living water. And so Jesus, at that moment, understanding her thoughts,
yeah.
Knowing her thoughts are far off even.
That's right.
Understanding her religious thinking. Understanding what she was trying to pull him into, how the devil was maybe working through her. Mm-hmm. He stays right on target because he's after this woman.
Yeah.
Because this woman can be a real witnessing tool for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
This woman is getting ready to turn into the first evangelist.
Amen.
The first woman evangelist, actually. Won a whole town. And he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying to this woman. And he got her attention, especially by ignoring the Samaritan issue, the Jewish issue, the Jacob issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she called Jacob father. Do you understand the Jews and the Samaritans? They were like half-breeds, and the Jews did not accept them as true Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, we're supposed to worship because of Abraham. Well, anyway, see how that could just really get into a tangled mess of debate? I just don't debate the word with people. But when it comes to talking about the gift, Jesus answered and said unto her. Now, did he answer about the cattle, about Jacob? Did he answer about the Jewish thing? No. He answered with this: whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. If you drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. You're going to need to come and draw again tomorrow, the next day. But if you drink of what I can give you, you will never ever thirst again. Never. Never. I'm talking never thirst again. Because guess what? It's called living water. I'm going to just give you an idea here, an example here, what I'm trying to share. I got saved at the age of 22. And I met the gift. And I feed the living water. I got a big old drink of living water. And the thing about living water, it becomes something in you. It's ready to tell her, it'll become a well. It'll become a well in you. And this living water will become literally a reservoir within you. And it'll never run dry. So I met the gift. The devil will always be after your reservoir. The devil will always be after your well.
Yes.
He'll always be after the living water that you have drank. You drank, you met the gift, you took the drink, and it became in you a living water.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to cover up your well. He wants to put dirt in your well. He never wants you to draw out of that well of salvation again. Never. Stop the devil. The devil wants to stop your well of living water.
But he can't.
He can't. 22 years ago, or at the age of 22, well, longer than that now, how long? 34 years ago, I met the gift. And I took a drink. You can remember when you did it. Y'all go back and think, when did you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? When did you take a real drink? I never wanted to go back to the bars after I took a drink of the Holy Ghost. I started drinking of the Holy Ghost. I didn't want that kind of spirit. I wanted the Holy Spirit of God. And it was literally a living water within me. And it became a reservoir, like I said. Problem come. Somebody knock up, an accident. My ex-husband's in a car wreck. Going to die. 3 to 9 days to live. Tubes everywhere. Right here. Gastrostomy tube. 3 months in Riverside Methodist Hospital. Four. I could just go on and on and on the issues that have come along since I took the first drink. Sorrow, woe is me. What's that old song, that old hymnal? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. You know, I used to sing that song. I can't believe I used to sing that song. Just problems, woes, agony and grief. Hee haw. And here I got this living water in me.
Yeah. So what are you crying for?
And I've got these tears of sadness and loss, and I've got this living water. And Jesus said, if you just knew the gift, if you just knew the gift, I'm convinced if people just knew the gift, let me tell you something, there is nothing can dry up that living water in you if you know what it is. And if you know how to draw from it. You see, we don't know, the devil has used our minds against us. He uses our thinker against us. He makes us think about the problem. He makes us think about the situation. He makes us think about what's going to happen down the road. He gets us in tomorrow. He gets us into next week. He projects you into an arena and a situation and a place where it's just miserable and horrible and terrible because you get your eyes off of Jesus, the gift. Jesus said, if you just knew the gift. And then he goes on, he says, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him now shall never thirst. Is he talking about natural water? No, he's talking about spiritually. He's talking about your spirit man being whole. He's talking about you being whole, spirit, soul, and body. You can drink of living water and you can never, ever, 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 ever thirst again. You mean I don't have to stay here and cry? I don't know if you all have experienced this or not, but it's almost like there's two of me sometimes. It's like, okay, here's the problem. And there's the other part of me is over here going, what are you doing over there? It's like my spirit man is saying, you got Jesus. You got the living water. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. What do you think you're doing over there crying? Just smack you upside the head. Get up off your feet. Get up and start praising God. Get up and start walking in the things you know to walk in. Get up all the molly grubs. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Just smack you on the side of the head. You know, my spirit man gets upset with me. The real me. Because that's the part that drinks. See, your spirit man is the part of us that drinks the living water. Because your body needs this kind of water. But the real you needs living water. And not only does... And the thing is, once you take the drink, this is the great thing about it. Once you've taken the drink, it's in you. It'll be in you. It'll be in you. It never leaves you. It's in you. People don't know how to draw out of that gift. Draw out of the living gift. The water is in you. The joy is in you. Draw out of it. Glory. See, I'm drawing.
Yes. Drawn out of your well right
now. I'm drawing.
Drawn out of your well.
Drawing.
Come on.
My head is screaming. You sound stupid. I don't care what you think, head.
Tell me.
My spirit is drawing out of a well.
Hallelujah.
I'm drawing out of a well. Not only that,
go.
I got some devils just took off 10 miles down the road. I done got rid of some depression devils. I just got rid of some poverty devils. Woo! Glory to God. I done just run off a bunch of bad spirits. I hit these knees. I get the devil nervous. Because I know how to draw out of the well that's in me. Because I got a drink in there. Just take the drink. Living water. The Bible says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries.
Yes.
Mysteries. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, so the Spirit prays for us in utterance and language that can't even be understood. Because he knows how to pray the perfect prayer in the Spirit, because he knows the mind of God. Romans chapter 8 for us to know. Then he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself.
Ooh,
in other words, you charge him up yourself.
So
I need to get a charge sometimes. I need to get on my knees and get a charge.
Yes. Yes.
You kids come to this door. I'm going to wear you out. Got to switch this long. You better listen to me.
Don't come in my bedroom.
Don't bother Mom. She's praying. But if we just knew the gift, he is the gift to go after. Do you think I chase after these things like this? $500 iPads. Do I chase after this? He knew I needed it. And I asked him for it. He said, anything you ask in my name, I'll give it you. Because I got the name. I got the name, I got the gift, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, so many, many, many things. I want to stay back on this right here, because really everything you'll ever need to know about God is right here in this verse, really. I mean, if you really, really look at this. Jesus looked at her in verse 14, whoever, and that's I'm a whoever, drinks of the water that I shall give him, never thirst again. Now he said he would, whoever, that's me. Whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water shall be in him. The water I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now that verse right there can be deciphered. And everlasting life is eternal life. That is the nature of God. That is Zoe. That is the very nature of God. Do you remember in Peter where he says that unto him is that he's given us exceeding great and precious promises? By these promises, we can be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Well, the divine nature of God is eternal life. That's the divine nature. The divine nature of God, eternal life, doesn't see things. People who have eternal life don't see things the way natural people see things. They don't feel the same way about things and situations that natural people see and think. We just think different. When the things of the Spirit become more important to you than things of this natural world, when you have a revelation of God, the things of this world just kind of seem like, they're just so temporary. Paul said the things that you see are temporary. It's the things you don't see, they're eternal, right? In Corinthians, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Right? But he has revealed them to us through the Spirit. And Jesus is talking about, clearly he's talking about the Holy Ghost here. He's talking about giving you the Holy Ghost who's going to be in you. Jesus told the disciples, he said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I cannot send the Comforter back. So when he said, but when I go, I will send him back to you and he will be in you.
Amen.
So if you've got the Holy Ghost in you, you've got the gift in you. You've got something powerful in you. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, or in you. Come upon you, on you, in you. He said, he'll be in you. And he said, whoever drinks of that water that I shall give him. Who is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost? Who baptizes us in the Holy Ghost? Jesus. He's the baptizer. Psalms 103. I woke up to the Psalms this morning. Actually, went to bed with this Psalm last night and woke up with it. Went to bed with it and woke up with it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, you know what? I thank God that I've learned how to separate me. I've learned how to separate me. Me, my poor little old me, always wanting to bless me, and how to bless God. There is a difference in always wanting to be blessed and being a blesser. You know, you can be the blessed, but you can also be the blessing.
That's right.
There's a difference in being blessed all the time, wanting the blessing, wanting blessed, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, then learning how to be the blessing. I want to bless the Lord.
Yes.
Blessing the Lord is the way I receive blessing.
That's right.
I have the gift. I have the gift. I have the revelation of the gift. Now I can take my revelation and bless him right back with it. Do you know you can do that? That's what the psalmist is doing here. He's just bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Does the Lord need my blessing?
No.
He's blessed. I don't think anybody's more blessed than Jesus. But there's something about me blessing him. That's why praise and worship is so valuable. Because what it does, it opens heaven for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it and you offer the sacrifices of praise, and the sacrifices of praise is when you don't feel like blessing him. You don't feel like helping him or blessing him, making him feel good. You don't feel like being a blesser because you're just so upset about your stuff. But when you start blessing the Lord, that gets his attention. So I learned years ago to start blessing the Lord. Bless you, regardless of my situation. Because it's my blessing, him being blessed out of my mouth has nothing to do with me and my condition. In other words, I want him to be blessed. And I recognize that he is to be blessed, regardless of whether I'm blessed. You see, we don't want to bless nobody unless we're blessed, right? Oh, I'll bless somebody if I'm blessed. No, I'll be nice to people if I feel nice. I'll be good to somebody if I feel good. If I feel like being good, then I'll be good. No, it has nothing to do with my emotions, my feelings, me. It's about God. We're talking about walking in the things of the kingdom. Kingdom living. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, whether I feel like it or not. Bless the Lord. You know, the greatest times that I've ever received from God is when I was really able to bless God, regardless of how I felt. There's something about blessing God. It's a greater gift to be able to give back to God a blessing when you don't feel like it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
I've done it.
When you feel bad, you just don't want to be around.
And when you come into a church service, shame on you if you cannot muster up one little praise.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Something wrong there.
Yeah.
Don't even come if you guys are going to bring your old self and just be miserable. Come and bless God.
Praise God.
I come and bless the Lord. I'm here to bless you, Jesus. I never walked into a church ever in my life that I can remember, no matter how bad it's been, that I did not muster up a little blessing back to him. Because I'm there to bless him and to be a blessing to others. It helps you get your mind off you. On top of that, it helps you. It will always turn around and help you. So look what he says. He says it twice. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. In other words, he's talking to his soul. He said, don't forget what he's done for you. That way you can bless him even better. Oh, now I can really start blessing him. I do this all, I pretty much do this on a regular basis. I get before the Lord and I start thanking Him for what He's done for me all the time. And I will go back 30 years. I start thanking Him, God, they could have took my kids. God, I could have been killed so many times. God, this could have happened. This could have happened. And I start thanking Him for all the blessings that He's given me in my life. I cannot tell you how many blessings. I have had so many blessings. I come home one day. There was not a thing to eat in my home. Not a thing to eat. Not a bite in the house. Took the last $4 I had and put it in gas to go to church. Yeah. Was driving across the Ohio River. On the bridge, the Portsmouth Bridge. And I heard a voice say to me, you got groceries all over your kitchen table, all over your countertops, even on your floor. And I'm thinking, I'm not a very old Christian. This was still up in northeastern Kentucky. This was in around 84. Get home, the light's on in the back porch, the light's on in the kitchen. I'm thinking, I turned those lights off. Go in, someone had broken into my house and had literally laid groceries all over my kitchen table, all over my countertops. It was even in the floor. And I realized that was God talking to me. I had food in my refrigerator. I had food for months, month or two. So, you know, I kind of remember those things. I just don't forget when people are good to me. I don't forget. So let me just move through this. Who redeems our life from destruction. Okay, there it is. How many times? Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We will get a check on our mouth. It will affect your health. It'll affect your mental health. If you will watch what you say. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is a good and acceptable will of God. If you just knew the gift. If you knew the gift. And the gifter, the gift giver. You would want to, you know, that verse, it says, and I wrote it down here, that you can know, be not conformed, it's Romans 12:2. We don't have to go there. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that means you can have your mind renewed. You've taken the drink. You've taken the drink. Now you can have your mind renewed. But what if you don't get your mind renewed and you've taken the drink? Something happens. Something is happening. If you never renew your mind and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, what happens? You never, ever, ever, ever come into the fullness of what He has given you, because it goes that you can prove. Do you know why you got to renew your mind? Why we got to stay in the Word every day, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. Last thing I told Justina when I left him, I said, read the Word every day. Renew your mind every day. Put it number one. Because when you renew your mind, even though your spirit's been born again, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, even though you talk in tongues, if your thinking is still messed up, you can't prove what is the good. You can't prove what is the perfect, and you can't prove what is the acceptable will of God for your life. You can't. The devil will deceive you. He'll make you think wrong thoughts. And the Word of God is your plumb line. It is your proof. It is the way you prove what is the good. And you will not speak the right things so that you can live and have a good life. You won't have a good life if you don't change the way you think. You won't. Because your mouth is a part of that. Your mouth is the key to that, really. See, you can draw out of the wells of salvation when you think right, when you talk right. That's your, you see, the woman said something. I want to go back to, let's go back over here real quick. St. John chapter 4. And then I'm going to close. St. John chapter 4. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him. Now after he gave her all of this explanation about the well. Then she says to him. Verse 15. Sir. She's not asking a question now. She's asking for this drink. Give me this water. The two benefits she had a revelation of. Give me this water. that I'll never thirst again, and I'll never have to draw again. Give me this drink, give me this water, this kind of water, that I never thirst, neither come hither to draw. Pretty good options there. I never have to be thirsty again, and I never have to work again to get it. He got that. She got something there when she saw that. You mean I never have to come hither and draw again? No, because he said it would be in you. Draw, you learn how to speak. You learn how to think. And it literally flows out of your... Jesus said, I have another verse here I'll give you before I close. I wrote it down this morning. This verse has come to me. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Deuteronomy says, behold, I set before you this day blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey, and a curse if you don't obey, basically. So when you renew your mind to the Word of God and you can prove what is a perfect, good, and acceptable will, and you start talking right, you're opening up the valves of the blessing. You're opening up the valves of the water. It's going to start gushing out of you. And it will bring forth good things. Good things bring forth good things. Bad things bring forth bad things. Think of it this way. I'm speaking negative. I'm speaking death. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? When you start, you've got this well of living water in you. But you've got this mind that is full of pollution. Start speaking the blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless his holy name. You literally are opening up the floodgates of that well. And you begin to speak it. Your level of thinking has to do with whether you are speaking the perfect will of God, the acceptable will, or just the good. You can literally understand and prove what is the good and perfect, acceptable will. Three different ways to live. Amen. Some people just are happy with being in the good will of God. Some people are happy to be in the acceptable will of God. Some people just live their whole life, I can get away with that. I can get away with this. So let's just settle for the lesser road. But the better road is to know the perfect will of God and talk the perfect will of God. And as you speak the word of God, he said he'll fill your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's Father, I seal this word today and I thank you for it.